Hey there, Pants People. Steven here. Just want to say real quick before the episode, thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for being here. We love you. Enjoy the episode.
Zinda, one of our world's most prestigious performing arts schools, is known for producing many talents that grace our crystal network. Singers and dancers, bards and actors, those that graduate from the Lucidarium are destined to impress. When it comes to the Lucidarium's alumni, one name always tends to overshadow the many, the luminary embattled even known as Diva Luma. Now, Diva Luma was adopted by the Lucidarium at an early age, her natural talent having impressed the school's administrators. Growing up in the school, she committed her life to song, dance, and celebration. She was a natural, the top of her class in each and every category. But what really sets Diva Luma apart is her prowess in martial combat, which has granted her the title of Battle Diva. All the skills that make her an incredible performer make her a deadly combatant in a fight. Her agility and control over her body, her knowledge of stage effects and pyrotechnics. And criminals had better start running when the heel sheaths come up of her stiletto blade shoes. Diva Luma's last resort is a swift, poison-coated kick that is sure to drop any villains that stand against her. Folks, this is a lovely lady that you do not want to step on your face.
The fuck was that?
Nothing, come on.
What?
Not even a chuckle?
No, just a concerned look.
That's a good line. I don't know. I'm really... This is my humor when I'm tired.
Oh, my
right?
God.
I'm sorry.
Folks, you are in for a wild ride today.
It's a lovely lady you do not want to step on your face.
Wow.
Yeah, you already said it.
I thought I'd get a laugh.
We didn't think it was very funny the first time.
I thought I'd get a laugh. Folks, write in. That was funny. Oh, so tired. Only one rock star a day. I'm still on it. Still doing it. I don't have a booch. No booch today, unfortunately.
Oh, no booch.
Yeah,
oh.
No booch. Just one sad rock star, and here I am. And I barely slept because the spiders got into my house. They got into my house.
I'm pouring one out for you, David.
Do it. They got into my house, Jeremy Wolf. They were behind my couch. I was sitting on that couch. You guys got texts from me last night in our group chat, like, you guys asleep? I have to leave right now.
Dude,
I can't be here. I have to move out. I have to burn my house down. Like, oh my gosh.
I read those this morning and I thought the worst when I was like starting to read them.
I saw that come in and I was like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
And it had just started to storm here too.
Yeah.
So it was a really, really eerie moment.
What, I mean, the worst happened. They got into my house.
You literally texted and said, are you guys awake? And then I said, yeah, what's up? And then you said, I might need to leave.
Yeah. I was like, oh no, what's happening? Like,
yeah, they got out of my house.
Is your house on fire?
Worse. The big spiders were in it. I don't understand you're not getting this.
It was a big spider. I'll give you that. It was a big spider.
There were two of them, actually. Two big spiders. There could be 100 big. If there's two, there's 100. That's how it all works. I couldn't even do notes till today. I had to kick off my shoes. If I had shoes on, I had to go in the middle of the room, like away from any walls and furniture, and just stand there and like observe every corner, every piece of wall, piece of floor for like an hour.
I wish I could help you, man. I mean, this is real phobia.
It's like, real phobias are honestly, it's wacky. It's a wacky characteristic, all that. But like, honestly, true phobias are... I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. They are horrible things.
I'm glad you made it out all right.
Because they're like, it doesn't make any sense. They're stupid little bugs. I know they can't do anything, but ooh, my body does not like them.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely scary. I don't want them on me, but...
Oh, how do you sleep in a house when you know they could be anywhere? Silent. Maybe deadly. I don't know.
Well, at least that. I don't think deadly.
Hey, speaking of deadly, we are in a very deadly encounter here. Actually, we are in two different encounters. The party split up. Me, very tired running it. It reminds me of something. It makes me reminisce about a previous fight and a previous arc where the party was split up. I feel like something really bad happened at the end of that fight. Do you guys remember this?
No. Yeah, I do remember.
You do remember?
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
I don't, David.
It probably wasn't important.
Yeah, no.
Nothing important happened. And here we are again. Shit has gone down. I have I was going to show you guys some pictures. I have some pretty cool pictures of characters in this arc. This combat partially is in the book, actually. There is a point in the book where Diva Luma, performing on stage, more just like a street stage in a tavern, as you're kind of, you know, there's not like a whole building, you're kind of moving through the city than the actual arc itself. And this does go off. A stage effect goes off, and she does launch out and begin to attack. I have Art of Diva Luma. I have Art of Margus Ruba, because Margus owned that tavern and was there for that combat. Even got a little Art of Azran Nir, R.I.P., dead before he really got to be explored, which is fine, because didn't have a place for him. He's dead. He's gone. I didn't have art for everybody, though, so I had to kind of get a little creative here. We'll touch on that in a second, but first of all, this is our map. You guys looking at the map?
Yeah.
We have a close-up of our two battle maps. Thanks to, of course, to Rochelle. She came in clutch over the week here for us, because I needed these, you know, close-up versions of these with, you know, some actual furniture thrown in, just really give the character to the fight, and damn, once again, did she deliver.
Yep.
You see, like, the quarters are tight here, especially downstairs. It's going to be a tight, tight combat.
Yeah, very small map, especially downstairs.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have our Diva Luma. We have a Dead Razor Nier. We have a Margus Ruba. We have some Dwergar, actual official tokens. But I've had to get a little silly with the rest. So the roles of DePiero and Ledoux, we played by some very pompous-looking real turtles that I found online. Look at those turtles.
Yeah, they're pretty cute turtles.
Snooty.
I only saw the top one. I only saw DePiero.
Look at those turtles.
Oh, no, that's a cute-looking turtle.
Look at his eyes. They're judging you right now.
Yeah, but I have to zoom so far in to see that it's anything more than just a turtle.
It's true. It's true.
I still... Yeah, it's a cool turtle.
So we have those guys.
Nice job, David.
Xenia Ruba will be played by Vin from the cover art of Brandon Sanderson's Final Empire, because Wait. Goth, which is an incredible book. It's the first of the Mistborn trilogy. And Turbo, the bat, will be played by Batty the bat from Ferngully the Last Train Forest, which might be a good movie.
Ooh.
It might be.
Are you kidding me?
I got to watch it again.
Are you kidding me? That scarred me as a kid.
I think that's a really small part for Xenia. I mean, is she dead?
What?
Isn't Xenia dead?
She looks pretty dead.
Right.
Big old red crossover.
Yeah.
Is she dead, though, or is she making saves?
She looks pretty dead to me.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. You don't know.
I don't really see a lot of... I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
You ready?
Yeah, I
well,
was
hold
like...
on. A few more things to touch on first. What? Hold your damn horses, ponytail.
Whoa. Is there a drink for that? Oh, no, let's wait just a damn minute.
Yeah. Jean Franklin has just enough time to finish attuning to the Ring of Spell Storing that you gave him last time. You gave it to him at 3... It's just now 4 o'clock. He literally had like an hour, boom, happened. Then we had a little conversation that led into this combat right after he finished attuning. His weapon, you know, leans against the wall across the small chamber about 10 feet away from the cell door. He did get to keep his shield, though, as it wasn't seen as a threat by the Silent Burst, so he is hanging on to his full AC number for this fight. Batty hangs in the room's northwest corner near the spear and just above the body of Xenia Ruba. Ledoux is tucked away in the back corner of the 10x10 cell, with Jean standing at the cell's front, trying to keep the Dwergar away from his friend? Maybe. Upstairs, we can see Amos Nir and Larissa Rin have fled the room. I don't want to put them on the map because I don't feel like getting tokens for them. They're gone. They're out. They move past the Dwergar, who are set to fight against the Mad Diva. There are actually 4 exits to this chamber, 2 on the east wall and 2 on the west. The Dwergar are moving in from the main entrances on the east wall. The stage sits in the north center of the room. Azra's corpse lies on the floor, blood pooling around the front of the stage. Diva Luma stands upon it still, and the pink haze that seemingly drove her to this state has settled along the boards of the stage, no longer actively in the air, just in case you were worried about that. Jules and Chester stand at the western edge of the stage, with Jules facing closer to the action, kind of Chester tucked in right behind him, as I'm sure Jeremy would want.
Don't assume what I want.
All right, Chester's right. He's on the stage.
He's rolling around in
the pink dust.
Around
the pink dust.
No.
At the south side of the room, Margus, DePiero, and Blanche all sit at tables. Imagine everyone standing up at this point, right by each other. At the battle start, all of them are around 20 to 25 feet away from the stage. With that said, now, Mr. Impatient over there, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. And I was worried about that, so thank you for clarifying.
Hell yeah. In that case.
Let me get some Sirenscape.
Let's get a Sirenscape. Where'd I put it? There it is.
But before we start, I need to wait just a damn minute.
Yes. Nice. Take your drink.
I can't believe there's still some of that left.
Steven, do you want to wait just a damn
minute?
Yeah,
wait just a damn minute.
You know what? You know the last time I played this particular track?
You went for it.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, D.
This in Sirenscape is the Avernus Rock sound set. And the last time I played this, I believe, was also that last fight where everyone was split up.
I don't know what you're talking about,
something
David.
Something happened at the end of it. I can't quite put my finger on it.
You're such a dick.
Still don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's like, you know, it's bombastic music. Maybe this is the Evaluma set. Maybe she was lip singing or just singing to like a sort of set performance emanating out from the stage. I don't know. That could be cool. Maybe it's in the media itself. This backtrack. I don't know.
Do they have fantasy electric guitars?
They have fantasy everything in this setting. They got cameras. They got, I don't know. They got everything. Roll for initiative.
All right.
Oh, shit. So I play Chester so infrequently in combat that I always forget what his modifiers apply to. He has just straight. Is his dex initiative or is it just straight
it's
initiative?
It's his dex.
Okay. Chester is a 19. Jules is a 7.
Ooh.
I hate tough
that. Tough luck on that, Jules.
It's going to get worse.
Worse, you say?
Yep, fuck.
How's it going to get worse? Let's hear it.
Blanche?
Yep.
Got a 6 initiative.
Oh, no.
No. What's your dex? That's rough.
I have a +4 initiative.
Wow.
I rolled a 2.
That is rough, buddy.
Jean got a 9.
Okay. Well, you won't be surprised to hear that I got very high initiatives for the most part. So, oh boy. Let's start this off with Diva Luma.
Fuck.
Blood drips from her, like, already stained sort of foot, ankle, her shoe, which is, like, just kicked out, just, like, plunged through Azranir's throat and just spreading sort of splash, like, all down her leg. She, like, whips it around, turns towards you, Jules, a spray of blood scattered across the stage, and she just screams out, your eyes are gone mad, this rage, this poison, her veins pulsing on her head, and she's going to just dive towards you. Now get ready. This is a luminary. And you guys would know this is a luminary who's pretty prominent in the scene. Diva Luma is no pushover. Anyway, let's make some attacks.
Would we just like based off of what we know about Diva Luma as a figure of pop culture, would we be able to glean sort of what class she is?
Yes, I think so. How about your roll me a history check?
Alright. Okay.
For some reason, Jules doesn't know shit about her.
Dude,
I rolled a natural 1.
Natural 3, so a 7.
Jeez.
Give me that, dude, give me that holy water. I think we need it.
You're gonna need it.
All right, you first.
There's just too much at stake tonight.
So while you're doing that, I'll tell you this. You don't know what her fighting style necessarily is, but you're about to find out.
Did you say steak?
She slides up. Yeah, that'll get him. My foot joke wasn't funny.
No, it really wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
And then you also said, like, oh, hey, I got pictures. I thought you were going to, like, show us pictures, and I was going to say something like, oh, yeah, I'd let her step on my face, but we never got there because you just bragged about having pictures.
I was like, I want to like, appear and turn around, like, look, guys, and make all the noise in the world, bump my mic 7 times. I have pictures, and they're cool, but yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. That's the end of the foot and face joke. Is there a name for that kink, you think?
I mean, it's just...
I'll Google it. You go.
Sure. Okay. Jeremy, first attack's going to only be an 11 to hit. Very bad roll.
Good. Yeah, it doesn't hit.
Second attack is going to be a 26 to hit.
Fuck
that
you.
Hit? All right, cool. Not a bad roll, actually.
Oh, God.
That is going to be 6 points of piercing damage, as well as... Oh, sorry, that's the wrong die.
Oh, wow. It's just called a foot fetish. I just assumed that there would be a more specific.
Pretty good roll on my part. So I already said the 6 points of the piercing damage. 9 points.
Jesus of Christ. Poison
damage. Wow. This slides. The first thing goes to hit you, and perhaps your cloak kind of like, you have this little pressure, maybe like weaves up front. You're kind of weaving around. It like grabs the foot, pulls it away. She spins with it and slashes across you, and you take, boom, a strike of this poison damage, bringing you down.
Well, okay.
Where are you guys?
This is really bad. This is already really bad.
Yeah, you are fucking us hard.
You guys did take short rest before, right?
No.
Yeah, way back when.
Wait, you did
short
rest.
Did we?
Yeah, and when you're
in the middle of should be
short,
at full HP.
Full HP before this fight.
I am at full HP. I was at full HP.
Was at full HP.
All right, cool.
Wait. When did we take a short rest?
You took a short rest after the Kamen fight and before this. So you wouldn't have been hurt going into this.
Okay, no, then apparently I did not.
Okay, make sure you mark that down.
I'm going to mark that because my short rest, I do get my full bardic inspiration back.
Yes, because when you first arrived here, you were in the billiard room for 1 hour with Diva Luma, actually. Okay. So, good. Whew, that was close. You said that was kind of like, wow, I mean, you know, was it 15 damage is a lot, but I don't know. It is a lot.
I only have 33.
Yeah, okay, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
David's face just changed.
Oh, no. This is great. I'm having a good time. It's going to get worse.
Oh, my God.
But that is Diva Luma's turn. Just this rage building her. She slashes into you. As this blade takes you, sort of slashes across your chest, perhaps, like, you know, just sort of open spot, you could feel, like, a poison coursing through you. Remember the black vein that popped up on Azranir as he was, like, cut down? You could feel it sort of crippling you, weakening you. Chester takes this in. Chester, staying right behind you, looks to Diva Luma. And Chester, there's something in his eyes, like this struggle. Because, well, not that long ago, you were on the world of God's Breath. And you cut down people in that world that were under an outside control. People who may have been innocent had they had control over their actions. And now, once again, so soon after rejoining you, Chester finds himself in the same position. This person might be innocent, driven to attack you via rage, and yet Jules is hurt. There is a pain in Chester's eyes, but he does raise his weapon because he understands the lesson you taught him then, that sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And maybe, just maybe, there's a chance to save her. Jules, you would remember that when Arhalant fought you, bringing him down to unconscious was enough to remedy the poison inside of him. Once he was unconscious, you brought him back and he was gone. The rage was gone. You may be able to save her. But Chester is up.
I feel like what we talked about earlier, Steven, I feel like I have to do that with both of us.
You might be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Reset.
I mean, we're just going to have to try. Yeah. I really wish I had, like, a solid, concrete plan.
No. Yeah, we don't. It's just, I don't see not doing that.
Right.
All right. Jules, in pain, will turn to Chester. Chester! And he'll nod over. Blanche!
What?
And Chester Misty steps over to Blanche.
Oh, shit. Okay. Bonus action. He just kind of, all right! Doesn't question you at all.
It's
just
a bonus
vanishes.
Action?
It's a bonus. You still have your attack.
It's a bonus act?
Misty Step's a bonus action.
Really?
Yup.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's better.
Stands behind Blanche, and he's already got his bow out, perhaps.
That's better. Yeah. Fuck yeah, he does.
Hell yeah.
Of course.
He's got to get that range. That's his deal.
17 to hit.
17 hits.
Max damage.
Ooh.
6 on the die plus 3.
That is
for
solid
9.
Opening move, Chester. Just like, you know, appears beside you, Blanche. Blanche, you're still in this moment. You're seeing this rum. Chester appears before you. Bow out, just like, all right, take this. Shoots. Come on. Leave Jules alone. Just firing. The bow whips and rips across right her back. Screams out again. And Chester is standing firm. Hell yeah. Let's hop downstairs. Because it's Harlan's turn.
Oh, boy.
This is where things are going to get even worse. Okay. Now, here's the thing I'm going to do that's actually going to favor you, and I think I have to do this. Harlan's going to stand up beside the Dwargar that's opened the door, the sort of normal Dwargar. He's got his blade out where he just, like, you know, blood still drips from it from where he just struck Xenia, and he stands sort of beside the body, beside the you know, kind of against the bars of the cell as the cell is whipped open. He's going to make attacks against Jean, but because of his positioning and because of where the cell bar's in the way, I'm going to say he has disadvantage. He's kind of trying to stab through the bars towards him.
Okay.
I don't think it makes sense for him to be able to attack normally. That is one boon. Don't think I'm being nice, because I'm a nasty fella.
Trust me, I know.
All right, cool. I'm making two attacks. A Jean at disadvantage. With a D10, apparently.
Yeah, you can keep using that, actually. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's not the kind of disadvantage I was thinking of. The first will be a miss, and the second will be a hit with a 22.
I thought you only rolled
twice.
Did
you take disadvantage?
Yeah. No, I'm an idiot.
So the first one didn't hit.
First is a miss. First is a miss. You're right. I forgot. Hey, good on you. tough one. That's an 18.
Nope.
Oh, the shield. Nice. Creams it around, bashes the weapon wide. What I am going to do is after he, the second attack, like, parries his blade, slides off, he's,
kill him!
And he yells out, I'm using Call to Attack, which is an ability that allows the Duergar beside him to use its reaction to make a free attack. So here we go. This Duergar, without disadvantage, because it's right in the doorway, goes in with a war pick. With a 22 to hit.
Yep, that's a hit.
Okay. Ooh, not the best damage, though. Only 5 points on Jean.
Okay.
As this one, the shield's still up blocking the sword. He's not ready for the second blow that comes down. He's able to kind of parry it with this sort of shoulder shell, but, like, it chips off into his shell, rips down on some of his skin, and he's... That do. Stay behind me. That's Harlan's turn. I can do some nasty stuff, but I'm not going to use it yet. Hop back upstairs. Margus Ruba is immediately charging the stage.
Oh, thank goodness. We need Margus.
Oh, wait. Wait, they're charging the stage?
They are charging the stage, but they're not going on the stage. Don't worry. The powder's down.
You're not being too tricksy.
I'm not doing anything gnarly. Margus knows what this is. Margus was the one that told you. So they're going to charge the stage, reach out, and I'm going to make some attacks on D.Va Luma. Kind of, attacking upwards, but let's do this thing. Now, initially I was going to give Margus basically just a set, like, 2 damage. There's a strength modifier, and that's what you get for unarmed attacks. And then I remembered, I made their backstory that they were literally a tavern brawler.
Mm-hmm.
And the tavern brawler feat gives you a D4 for every unarmed attack.
Nice.
So just because of that, Margus is going to get a nice little boon to their damage. So let's do this thing. That's a miss. I rolled a 3 and a 2.
Yeah, same
Come
here.
Come on.
That's what I've rolled today.
Margus goes
2 and a 3.
Sliding in. Yeah. Two fists that go out, and D.Va just weaves around. Just this dancer's grace. I can't. Damn it. Can't get in. Okay. But Margus is there. Perhaps another target isn't just going to be Jules. Up in the shit.
Margus, block. I need a little bit of time.
Duergar moving in. One is charging the stage. One is actually going to come over and stand in front of DiPiero and by you, Blanche, basically taking a defensive position in case D.Va Luma tries to move. The first Duergar, the one that's closer, runs up, slides onto the stage, comes in with another war pick. I'm making an attack on D.Va Luma. You guys have reinforcements here. That's the one nice thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a 5 on the die. Your reinforcements suck.
Oh, my God.
Duergar misses. Again, she just weaves down. Dude, D.Va Luma is proving herself to be the badass I know she is as she just dodges every single attack. Just brutal. The Duergar are up, though, which does mean that downstairs, this guy's going to attack Jean again. 3 on the die.
Okay.
Jean, he's ready. He parries it. We're good to go. And as he parries that attack, the camera sort of pans around to his features, fierce and strong, because it's Jean Franklin's turn.
All right.
Now, let me talk to you real quick about this turn, Blanche. This is kind of an important fight. Jean stands in this place. He has someone he wants to protect. And you know he's been feeling like a failure lately. He's been feeling all these sort of great, like, losses that he feels he's had, just this, like, sort of mounting up on him. Steven Rodriguez, can you deliver us a rare Jean Franklin win here? Can he protect himself, his friend, everyone here? That's up to you.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Hell yeah. I mean, this is interesting because, like, both of you have sidekicks that have stake in this fight and how this goes. Like, their mentality, their very heart depends on your actions here. That's why I love sidekicks so much.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's hard because Jean doesn't know that, at least in some form, help is coming, but Steven does. I think what Jean's gonna do for this turn is take the dodge action.
Oh, that, you know, that's actually fine. Yeah, he's in the doorway.
Yeah.
So he's blocking. That's really cool. Okay, he just brings a shield up and stands firm. He's going to hold the line as long as he can.
Yep.
That is really cool. I love seeing the dodge action get used. It doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, it's always, honestly, really cool.
Right?
Hell yeah. Okay.
All right.
So Jean knows he's the bulwark here. As long as he can hold this spot, he can protect the people he needs to protect.
Exactly. I had thought about using shell defense, but it comes with too many negatives.
Yeah.
Like, he'd need to use a bonus action to emerge from his shell and everything. So, I mean, because dodge gives him advantage, right? On,
yes.
On blocks?
It gives me disadvantage on
well,
every
right,
attack.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah.
So it's like plus 4 to AC or disadvantage on attacks. I think I'll take that for now without having the negative effects of shell defense.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Sweet.
Jean stands his ground. Super cool. Super cool. That is going to be DePiero and Ledoux. Ledoux obviously stays put, does not move. DePiero looks to you, Master Defense. Master Defense, how can I help? What is this madness?
Stay behind me. I'm going to check on Jean. Then I'll be back to take care of this.
Check on Jean. I think it's like, as far as he gets before, like, you start to, maybe you're already kind of fading in.
She, like, wargs into Turbo.
Yeah, you just hear him kind of, like, scream, like, what happened to Jean? And then you're already, like, gone. He's moves up behind you, staying right behind your shell, take up a spot, fully trusting his master defense.
All right.
Okay. Following that, it's going to be you, Jules.
Jules will pull out his rapier.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, does Turbo get any movement during Blanche's turn? Because it's an action to go into Turbo.
I believe you would, yeah.
Okay. Is there any way that... How long is Jean's spear?
Jean's spear is about 5 feet long, I imagine.
Okay, never mind. I'm gonna need to wait till next turn and use Mage Hand then. I was just going to knock it over, but...
Okay. Well, you're warging, but it's actually, that was just a PR. That was flavor.
I thought Jules had already gone, so I was like, wait, why isn't it my turn?
Nah, he went as far as getting his butt kicked by me.
Yeah. So he pulls out his rapier. Yeah.
My foot joke was funny.
Come on, you gotta come to your senses. We don't want to do this. And he's gonna strike her.
Okay.
Whoa.
That's not gonna hit with a 7.
Nope, it will not.
And then as bonus action, Jules is going to Misty Step over to Blanche and Chester.
Oh, shit. Okay. Hell yeah. All right, so there's like everyone sort of down on the south side of the room now. Only Margus and the Duergar stand on the stage. This is getting hot. What's so fun is, like, I don't think Blanche told anybody fully that Jean's in danger. So Jules and Chester are kind of like surrounding Blanche. And then Blanche is going to, like, vanish.
Well, Blanche doesn't know that Jean's in danger. She's just going into Turbo to check on him.
No, you were watching that whole scene last time.
Oh,
and, like,
right,
when
right,
it ended, you saw he was,
yes,
and you popped out, and you saw all this go down, and you're like, fuck.
Okay, then she would have said something like,
just scream out, like,
Jean's in trouble. I'm going to help him. I'll be right back.
And you just kind of, yeah, you say that, you scream that out. And actually, you can scream now, because it's your turn. Actually, wait, Jules, you missed it. What are you else going to do? Sorry.
No, that's it. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that is a bonus action. You do have an action still. No, you attacked.
I took my action. I attacked.
I'm a doofus. I'm dumb. Blanche.
Okay, Blanche is going to use her action to see through Turbo's eyes.
You leave the chaos upstairs behind, and you are about like 20 to 30 feet down below where you are now in this cellar room, just seeing everything from here now.
Yeah, really the only thing she can do aside from that. So I'll say maybe even before she went into Turbo, she used her bonus action to enter Bladesong.
You actually used that. You already did it last time. So you
oh,
say it's
that's right.
There.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because I think we ended last episode with like, oh, yeah, Blanche is going to like run and enter
Bladesong.
And
Bladesong, yeah.
Right.
And then you realize that it might be hard to get there, and there'll be other ways to handle this in the moment. But you are in Blade Song. But just for cool, do the effect right now. Thanks, Jeremy.
Man, that was so cool.
No, I already inserted it when he said Blade Song the first time.
Oh, man. No, he did it twice? Oh.
No, I don't think he did it twice. I think he just looked like an
idiot. Yep.
Shit. All right, do a mail time right here.
No.
There's no mail, though.
Damn it.
Don't got mail.
All right.
That is the end of Blanche's pathetic little turn.
Oh, no. So sad. You pop in, you see Jean holding the line. Already has a one sort of fresh gash, sort of right in sort of a nick in the shoulder. Okay.
And Turbo is right by the spear, correct?
Turbo is basically 5 feet away from the spear. The spear is like the, Turbo's on the ceiling in the corner. The spear is like the 5 foot square below where you are standing, south of where you are.
That's fine. So I'm not going to use any movement to get over to it.
Hell yeah. With that, we have one more turn for this very long ass first round. It's going to be a long fight, gentlemen. But before we finish this turn, or I start this turn, I have to go on a kind of a weird tangent here. A remembrance, if you will, of campaigns past. This is going to seem really weird, but stick with me, all right?
All right. Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, you two stood in the town of Caer de Naval in Icewind Dale. I know. I told you it's weird. Battling against an army of awakened beasts under the control of the druid Sefik Kaustro. At this point, you'd already destroyed his human body, and he lived on in the form of an enormous, ferocious, like, white moose. You remember all this? It was cool.
Yeah, I do remember this.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
That guy was gunning for you, Jeremy. You and the adult Miskin Muddle Hopper, the your prior Echo Knight fighter. Like, I wanted you dead. And you were standing there holding the line against this overwhelming force. And I was about to do damage to you. I think I just did. I did an antler strike on you, doing enough damage that I knew you were unconscious and therefore prone. And I knew when you were prone, I would get a second attack as a bonus action to trample your prone body, which was almost certain to kill you. It was a set thing. It was a scary moment. But I didn't get to do that. I didn't get to get that second attack because you didn't go prone, because you didn't go unconscious despite the fact that you should have. And I'm asking you right now, Jeremy, do you remember why?
I don't.
You don't?
Do you remember, Steven?
No.
You look at me like you do.
Of course
not. No.
It was a racial feat of yours, actually.
Okay.
Called Orcish Ferocity.
Okay.
That means that when you take damage that should drop you below zero,
that's right.
You attain one HP.
Yep.
First time ever happened in the campaign.
That's
surprised
right.
Surprised me, shocked me. Anyway, here in this moment, on the floor of the cellar, Xenia Ruba snaps awake.
Whoa.
We talked before about how every living thing in D&D is a little bit Wolverine. Well, half-orcs have an interesting biological feature. When they face death, when their strongest emotions pulse through their bodies, they become like 5% more Wolverine for an instant. Just long enough for the vital parts of the wound through Xenia's chest to close, leaving her alive and at 1 HP.
Wow.
Still shackled, still injured, still in absolute peril, but alive. Just for the moment. I did not plan this. I realized this between sessions because I was thinking about that fight. I don't know why I came to it, and I was like, wait, Xenia Ruba's a half-orc.
That's
why
so
not?
Weird.
Yeah.
Which is good, but there is pressure now because as she snaps awake, Jean's eyes sort of catch that. He wants to protect everyone if he can.
Yeah.
She can't really fight. She's just kind of... just breathing hard against the floor, looking around with wide eyes, doesn't understand what is happening. Why is she in so much pain? What happened? The Duergar don't seem to notice yet, though. They are focused on their prize before them. The rage has them honed in on Jean. And that, gentlemen, is the end of round one.
I have no idea what I'm going to do about that, by the
way. Oh, wait. No, it's not. Because I'm going to use a legendary action before I end this round.
Great. Cool. Fun.
With Diva Luma.
I love this.
Yo, this is going to be fun. 10-foot cube. Oh, man. Let me see.
Uh-oh.
Okay, cool. That means I can use it upon where I am standing and not take damage because it's any creature within of my choice. I told you already, I mentioned the orange last time. Diva Luma is very skilled with pyrotechnics. And they're not just on the stage, baby. They are everywhere as she suddenly whirls around towards the, suddenly two people she was facing vanish in mist. They're gone. But she looks to the two others around her. Margus, Ruba, and this Duergar, the Silent Verse officer that stand. And she just does this sort of whirling, like, like laugh as she swirls around and like, some mechanism kind of up her like sleeve of her dress releases this sort of burst of, what's the damage type on this again?
What?
Don't ask me.
What'd you say?
Just this burst of like light, just shining, shimmering, dazzling like light that's almost like these little mini flashbulb explosions that was like blast in the eyes of these guys. And as she does this, it's almost like this sort of sparkling mist swirls around her. You see that she vanishes.
Oh,
and
no.
And the two other people here are going to take some damage.
I just need like three rounds to like set up and then we'll be cool.
Okay. I'll be Margaret dead by then. Dwergar sort of I'll be dead roar by then. Out as this blast of lights hit them and they kind of like the daze their flash. Ziva Luma is effectively gone. Going to the GM layer.
You mean right there?
Okay. Now, I will say, you don't hear any movement from the stage. Probably she's in the same spot. But at the very least, that happened.
Probably.
Well,
probably.
there is canonically a layer of powder on the stage.
Yeah, I noticed that.
But now I get to make my turn. Ziva Luma is going to move. I'm going to keep the token invisible. I mean, I'm not hiding. So while I'm fully obscured, you know where she is. You can hear like the steps as she runs. Across the floor. You can hear where she is. You can see how people are reacting to her. Unless I hide, that's not going to change. I would get a bonus to hiding, but that's not my goal. I'm in a ferocious mood here. I'm going to keep her on the field, but just know that your attacks will have disadvantage on their two hit while she's invisible.
Mm.
She slides around behind Margus. And because I'm invisible, I'm going to take advantage on my attacks. So now I'm really getting to see what happens here. Margus, and just they just feel like a blade sliding into them. Twice.
Two hits?
Fuck.
Two hits on Margus. Let's do some damage about it.
Ruh-roh. We really needed Margus for like a couple turns.
Three rounds?
No, not literally three rounds.
Margus had previously taken 5 damage from the sort of effect. Margus just took 18 more damage from these two strikes. Not the best roll it could have been, but pretty good. Margus looks rough, but they are still up. Spinning around.
Dude, Jules can't take any of that.
No.
Like,
no.
Yeah. This is a gnarly fight. That's going to be Chester.
Oh, fuck. He's gonna hit with a short bow again.
Okay. This stat block is so rude.
It's only a 12. It's not gonna hit, is it?
Yeah, no one even bother rolling the disadvantage for invisibility.
Oh, yeah.
Hit. Just tries, and like, what are you doing? You know, invisible force behind Margus, can't really get a beat on it, and Chester's just trying to be, you know, shoot too hard to like protect Margus. Bullet flies, or arrow flies too high, doesn't land.
Jules being Jules, after he sees that, he's going to grab Chester and pull Chester behind him.
Okay. Damn it. Jules, I can't get in on it. She's quick, and I can't see
her. Don't worry. We'll get her.
All right. Oh, wait. It wouldn't matter because you missed the first one. Actually, she is visible now. I forgot. It lasts till the end of my next turn. I used the end of the round. I had it for basically that one attack, that and my turn ended. Okay. So she actually fully appears after those first two hits. The bullet does fly too high, though. Again, she's interlocked with Margus, and Chester does not want to hurt Margus, so it goes a little too high.
Okay.
So I can't get a beat on her. She's quick. Cool. Good wedge I almost had. But you can see her, which may be a big deal. All right. We're going downstairs again. I'm going to do the same thing as last time. Two attacks on Jean and a call to action. But I have disadvantage on these attacks.
You have disadvantage.
First is a miss. Second is a... No, it's an 18 again. That missed, right?
No, get out of here.
All right. Harlan tries two more blade swipes. His attacks are, like, strong. They're just, like, hitting through the bars. This massive, like, clang, clang, ripping across and sparks flying off the... But he cannot get in on Jean again. Oh, kill him! And I'm doing another free attack with, would you believe it, an 18.
Just no go.
Ping, ping. The other guy tries to move in. Jean's at the ready. And besides, I have a disadvantage anyway on this guy, too. So definitely couldn't hit. Like, yeah, Jean is ready for this. He's holding that line.
Okay.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Might have to get mean soon. We'll see. Okay. Let's do quick two attacks with Margus. Margus goes in with a rough sort of like, I think misses the first attack, you know, fist goes wide, and then as she sort of goes in to kick again, they grab her leg, kind of like holding the blade, and just kind of one good solid sock in the face. Boom, punch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Way to go, Margus.
One hit there. A little bit of damage, not the most, but it helps. Everything helps. That is the Dwergar. I'll start with the ones up here. Honestly, the one that's kind of stand by you guys is going to move up and try to help out in the fight. I think that just
maybe
makes
he's gonna
sense.
Flank.
I think that would make some sense, wouldn't it?
It would make some sense.
All right, so Jules, where you stand, Dwergar stands for you.
Oh, no worries, Luminary. We saw that burst. We'll hold the line.
This guy gets behind you, or gets in front of you, goes into strike with that plus two flanking bonus. That may have clinched the hit. It did. Okay. A solid hit, too. That's going to be a good 8 points of damage on D.Va Luma.
All right.
As this war pick was sliding, hits firm. I'm actually going to do a little thing. I forgot about this last time. I'll do it now. She weaves out of the way of the blow in a sort of uncanny kind of dodge sort of scenario. Only takes half damage from it. Yeah, I'm a gross man.
So horrible.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what? Let's have more fun. I'm gonna use a legendary to do a stab on this guy. Yeah, I can do anything I want.
I can do anything I want.
And that is gonna hit.
What it must be like to be a supervillain.
You know, I'm gonna be like the set damage when I'm fighting NPCs. I'm roll 100 die because I'm just it's too many die. Too many die are happening right now. Dwergar takes a good solid legendary action kick. She tries to get in there. Pretty rough. Poison veins. You know the deal. That is.
You know the deal.
You know the deal. That's that Dwergar. Other Dwergar is gonna move down and slide up beside D.Va Luma. They've got her three quarters surrounded and. You have allies. You have allies for now. And that Dwergar actually crits.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
I'll crit my pants.
Everywhere.
He said it.
I'm feeling friendly today. Yeah, I said the thing.
Jules from the distance. I smell crit.
You smell correct, sir. All right. Unfortunately, it's a one on the die and a three, so.
Oh, my God.
Only 6 points of damage there.
That was a pretty shitty crit.
You're telling me.
Oh, this sucks. But, hey, that's a little damage. One more Dwergar. Downstairs, attacking Jean.
Wait, I thought you already did that guy.
No, I did my reaction for him. From Harlan. Oh. As Harlan can command them. It's pretty gross. He misses with this disadvantage still.
Nice.
All right, can't get, great.
That's it. Blades are sliding off shield as Jean is holding the line. Honor preserved, baby. And that's going to be Jean.
All right. Both Jean and Steven are going to simultaneously remember the Ring of Spell story. And Jean is going to use it to cast Phantasmal Force.
Ooh.
I think. There's like a lot of text here.
Okay.
Have you read through? Do you?
No.
Okay.
I don't know what that does.
Honestly, why don't you pause the recording for like a minute so we can talk about this?
Let's do this. Yeah, let's do this. See you guys. Bye. All right, so we did our reading. I like to think in this sort of time as Jean's dodging, he's sitting there, he's trying to think of the exact right move to make here. He's taking the stance and really considering all the options, trying to think like Blanche. What would Blanche do? What would Blanche do? Control the field. Control the current of the battle. Where is it? Where is the control? And then he realizes. What are you going to do, Steven?
Jean is going to cast Phantasmal Force, and the phantasm that he's going to make there in the cell with him and Ladue is the Pigman.
Oh!
The scariest, most threatening thing that Jean can think of.
One weird thing about this, right? I got to figure this out. So I guess this is, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're seeing what they're going to see, right?
Right.
The Pigman is the size of the cell.
Yeah.
Pigman's huge.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That means if, like, it pushes Jean back into the corner and he's completely hidden, right?
This is interesting. Okay, so they're going to see the Pigman.
Well, if they fail the intelligence saving throw.
Okay.
And Harlan is the target here, to be clear. It's a single target spell, so there's Harlan and the other Dwargar down here.
Okay. Harlan is the one you are targeting. I'm getting the actual token ready.
You're getting the token
out. The pig man once again. Man. Didn't think I'd see this guy again. Didn't think we'd ever see this guy again. Is there sound? Or just a picture?
No, it's sound as well.
Look who's back. All right.
Harlan. Maybe perhaps a Pigman fan.
Nope, I was wrong. Sorry.
All right. That doesn't happen.
Well, that was still fun.
You have to make the save first. It's a phantasmal object, creature, or other visible phenomenon of your choice.
Okay.
We just stopped to read it, and we didn't do a very good job. The phantasm includes sound, temperature, and other stimuli, also evident only to the creature. Make the save first. We're doing a lot of explanation.
Okay, all right.
It might be for naught.
Jean's advantage in this body, perhaps. And let's say right now it's a DC 13 is what Mesmerize is working with. You're using Mesmerize.
13?
13.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. This is almost worth two buttons, but...
You fought her a long time ago. Remember this?
Does he take any hit to his intelligence because he's under the control of that?
No, well, he has to fail the save first, and then he's under... Yeah. It's not going to work.
Well, no, because of the poison. I actually do like where
you're
going
under
with
control
that.
I do like where you're going
with that. I'm going to say yes. I like that a lot.
Because I have to imagine Harlan is pretty intelligent as fuck.
Right.
Yeah. Under this, though.
Is this a real, like, condition? Is this in the book? Does it have any?
It's in the book and changed from the book.
Okay.
But, I mean, for the most part, I am in, like, this locked state of I have to kill anything around me.
Right.
If this is going to look and feel like a person, I don't think Harlan's in the mindset to be able to easily distinguish it. I think it makes sense.
Sure.
And my homebrewed poison for an effect like this may actually get this advantage. I think it makes sense.
That's fair.
It just makes sense.
It is pretty powerful.
It's a really cool. You only get one of these.
Yeah.
These spells, once you use them, they're gone.
Right.
So you blow one of your two mesmerized spells in this ring. Boom. The pigman. He lands in this stage. Harlan. Eyes go like raging out, wide, bulging. Let's do the save with disadvantage.
Come on.
He goes striking at the pig.
Nice.
I think maybe like for a second Harlan like perked up for a second as he heard like Xenia finally like caught onto that. Can't get through to Jean. And then that twitching sort of muscle, and he turns around. His face begins to turn around towards Xenia, who's on the floor, kind of like writhing with her shackles. And just is going to turn. Boom! The pig man is there. Jean found a way to save everyone. As Harlan spins around and goes striking out his, you know, let's see what happens.
And it says, each round, on your turn, the phantasm can deal 1d6 psychic damage to the target.
Oh, I love that. That's the coolest thing. Yeah, this is cool.
So does that count
really
on the
cool.
first turn? It doesn't say after. Each round on your turn.
On your turn. Oh, boy. Is it starting your next turn? I think so, yeah. Yeah, let's do it. All right. I think you're right.
Pigman does 4 psychic damage to Harlan.
That's amazing.
Nice.
You know what? I'm going to do something really fun about this, actually. Yeah, okay. I like this a lot. So currently for Harlan... This entire cell is just full of the pigman. The turtle's kind of like vanishing sort of behind him. The pigman sort of squeezing in the cell and maybe like reaches out and like there's like a sort of sumo like a pig slap. Pork chop. Hits him with a pork chop. Kind of bounces back so he actually got hit, takes a little bit of damage from it, sort of shakes it out of his head and looks back at him. And you see he's about to do something because I want to have fun here.
I hope it's not an AOE.
All right. That's Jean. Ledoux and DePiero are going to stay put because I want to keep moving them around. They are in protected places. They're good. Just looking on towards their guardians. Just eyes full of hope. Jules, it's you.
Okay. First, Jules is going to use a bonus action to cast Bardic Inspiration onto Blanche.
Nice.
The D8. Then Jules will move to the other side of Chester. And then he will cast level 2 blindness deafness.
Whoa.
Onto Diva Luma. It's a con save.
Oh man. That's pretty gross.
That's a surprise face.
That's pretty gross. So it's a con save, huh?
Correct.
All right, it's not the worst. It's not the worst.
Oh, yeah, Diva Luma, I bet she's got decent con, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I have other things up my belt as well. Diva Luma is mean. I don't know if this passes or not. Oh, I get to choose if I, so if I fail the throw, I get to do this. Okay, so will a 13 would fail, I'm imagining, right?
13 fails.
Okay.
You got something else up your sleeve here.
Yeah, he does.
So I'm going to use my legendary resistance.
You fucking Christ.
Boss monster. You. Diva Luma's not fucking around. That's a good note, but you blew it. You burned that legendary. Diva Luma just sees this sort of, her eyes are getting covered over, and she's sort of for a second blind, like rages out, and then you kind of see like almost, like she just grits her teeth, and this spell just seems to slide off of her. This like her every ounce of will pushing into her mind, her veins bulging, and she just rips this magic away.
That was a good move, Jeremy.
It was a good move. Hey, burning those things, big deal. It's a big deal.
Oh boy.
Hell yeah. Gentlemen. Anything else you want to do this round, Mr. Jeremy Wolf?
No.
Okay. We're on to Blanche. That means we're on to Turbo. Turbo snaps awake in the cell. You see what's going on down here. You're up in the corner. You are, I'm going to say, like, they don't know you're here. You probably were, like, set up kind of hiding. When you initially did this, they were kind of having this little argument about the curse of the heirs and whatever. So you managed to get Turbo kind of hiding up above a rafter in the shadows. The Duergar are bad at their job. They didn't notice somehow. I don't care. It's fun. It's cool. You're up here. If you get noticed, things might get sour for old Turbo.
Yeah. So what Turbo wants to do, or what Blanche wants Turbo to do, is really simple. Blanche wants to get Jean his spear using Turbo. So she can either do that with Magic Missile, or I guess maybe try to do that with Turbo's movement. I think Magic Missile, or not Magic Missile, what am I saying? Mage Hand. I was looking at Magic Missile when I meant to say Mage Hand.
It makes sense. That can because you're reaching down and you're shooting through the floor with your Mage Hand. Yeah, actually, you can make it appear anywhere you can see. That's how we did the unlock the door before.
Right.
The old Turbo trick. I love it. So yeah, you're looking down to Turbo's eyes, and within your range, Blanche, you're reaching down towards the floor and you're casting in this room below you as a spectral hand appears. And what are you gonna do?
Just knock the spear over. Like, make it look like it's just getting knocked over, like, in the fray.
Hell yeah. The spear knocks down and, I guess, would be, like, leaning out towards Jean then, correct?
Yes, I want Jean to be able to grab it.
So the tip of the spear lands down. It's 10 feet away from the cell. It lands about 5 feet out from the cell. But Jean might be able to reach out and, like, pull it by the tip. In fact, I'll give you this. As it falls, the banner sort of slides out towards him. This is a really cool move, and you're losing your turn on this. So I think Jean could reach out of the cell, pull it by the banner. The Golden Bay banner, his lifeline in this moment. I think, like, as this happens, this moment of like, something enters Jean's eyes. This gratitude, this sureness. I think he feels like somehow, you're watching out for him.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? He can see Magic Missile.
Mage Hand.
Or sorry, he can see Mage Hand. Mage Hand is visible unless you have certain feats. So like, he would see that kind of appear behind them.
Nice.
Dwargard, no. So he'd see a flick over the spear. Hell yeah, it's so cool. He just smiles a little bit as he's getting ready to reach down and grab his weapon. Love it. Anything else?
That is the end of Blanche's, again, pathetic turn.
Xenia is just, I mean, she's, in this point, incapacitated. She's trying to fight against the shackles, not trying to, like, say anything, just sort of, like, trying to scoot as far as she can up against the wall, trying to get away from the carnage. Top of the round. Let's do a couple turns in this round, gentlemen. Trying to have some fun. First things first. Diva Luma's up. Diva. Who are we gonna hit?
We've at least got padding for the time being.
Right.
Let's go for Margus, my first hit. Margus looks pretty injured. Diva likes to finish the job she starts. turns towards them and just kicks out again. Poison blade. Two on the die. It's going to miss. Marcus, boom, parries the blade with a fist. You know, kind of grabs like the leg, throws aside. This is brawling. This is what they know how to do. Okay, next attack's going to go, screw it, you know what, on Marcus. Oh, that is a maybe. That is an exact hit.
Oh, God, yeah. Margus.
Unarmored, so, you know, it's one of those things. I have so many dice there. Everyone has different damage dice, and it's making me very sad. okay. The blade, yo, cool. One gets parried, thrown around, but before Margus can even react, Steven just spins, or drops 1 foot down, spins to a second kick. Another, maybe another bladed heel comes off the other foot in one swift motion, and the second blade catches Margus, just slicing across their chest. Black veins begin to appear, and you see Margus's eyes sort of bulge. You see they roll back into the whites, and Margus falls unconscious and dying. But she does not step on their face.
You are out of the podcast.
Man.
Groan.
One down. Divilma turns around to the Dwergar and beyond them towards you. How long can you hold against her carnage? Chester, you're up. Chester.
Yeah, he's going to do what he does.
All right. All right.
He ain't going to do shit with a natural one, though.
Holy crap. That's not excellent. It's not excellent. Okay.
Nope.
I'm going to use my legendary action now to end this with a bang. I'm going to use Vanishing Escape again. Once
Come
again,
on.
He looks at you, spins around, boom, a sudden flash of light. The Dwergar are going to take some damage as this dazzling sort of pyrotechnic display just rips into them. They both take, they both look pretty bad right now as the lights sort of fade around them. They're wounded. They're sort of barely standing still, clutching their weapons, still holding strong, but Divilma is gone. Downstairs. In this moment, because this is fun, Harlan sees the pig man before him. We're seeing his POV. His pig man just kind of like, hey, come on. Hop into the pig pen. Want a mud wrestle? Yeah. Into the trough. Just doing like all pigman things. And Harlan just rages out. Xenia is prone, so I believe this is allowable. Turbo is up high enough. This should be fine. So Harlan actually turns toward the Dwergar beside him and just full shoves him. Honestly, I'm not even going to resist it because the Dwergar is, like, I think even this maddened state understands that, like, Harlan is boss. You know? You know these things, when they go mad, they attack, like, who they see as an enemy first and anyone else later. So there's a part of their consciousness that still remains. And, like, these prisoners, these people in the cell who they're guarding but who also were apparently, you know, committing some kind of crimes, would be to these Silent Verse officers the enemy, where they wouldn't attack each other, not at least until the end. So the way this poison's worked before, it seems like they might kill each other, but not right now. In this moment, Harlan shoves the Dwergar out of the way. He goes kind of stepping backwards as Harlan turns towards the pig man.
I'll show you. I'll show you, pig.
And Harlan begins to grow.
Oh, no.
What?
As he begins to grow and grow, and suddenly towering before the cell is a 10-foot dark dwarf who moves in to strike out. And we'll call it there.